Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Verse 11, and as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And then he goes on, verse 12, and he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. And if any of you have been here a little bit of time, and the times I do get to speak the parable of the talents, it's always a challenge to me. And I'm not going to talk about that parable per se tonight, but I want to talk about that little phrase in verse 13, occupy till I come. Back in verse 11, it talked about the disciples thought that God's kingdom was coming immediately. And many of us are the same way about many things in life. I remember a few years back, we went to a McDonald's drive-thru, and Dad was driving, and they took our order, and we were in line, and we pulled up to the window and paid, and then we pulled up to the window to get our food, and they said, sir, could you please pull forward where your food's not ready? You just pull forward and wait a few minutes. So he pulled forward, and one car went through and got their food and left. Another car pulled through and got their food and left. So Dad puts his car in reverse and backs up to the window. And they said, sir, if you just wait forward, we're going to get your food ready in just a minute. And he said, well, I'll just wait here. And they said, well, no, sir, if you could just pull forward and wait. He said, no, he was very peaceful. He was very nice. He just said, no, I'll just wait here. It's fast food. I expect to get my food. So they said, okay. And he got his food, and we went on our way. But many of us are like that, and that's not a bad story. I think that's fair. I probably do the same thing now that I can drive. But we say we want it now. I want it immediately. You know, I think about Brother Jeff's testimony tonight. When Kim got sick, I didn't want her to be in pain. I wanted her to be healed immediately. I wanted the answer now. And many of us, in any aspect of life, we want God to come through. We know God knows our needs. We know God knows the trials that we're going to go through. And we'd like him to respond or come back or however you want to say it. We'd like him to step in and do something immediately, just like we want our fast food fast. And he told them this story, but parable of the talents. And the master said to the servants, occupy till I come. And first I want to say, when he does come, this is all introduction, but when he does come, every critic and every doubt that we have and every critic of the world will be put to rest. God's authority will finally be recognized by those of us that believe and by those of us right now that don't believe. And the Bible says in Romans 14, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. And that day is coming. And we can look forward to that. We can all look forward to it as being on the winning side. We don't have to worry about it. And sometimes we get in that immediacy of life and say, I wish it was now. I wish it would, you know, I wish God would come through right now. And Jesus tells us this story, occupy till I come. And in that time, God will end pain. God will do away with our suffering and all the former things. In Isaiah 25, it says, He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And then in Revelation, it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, Revelation chapter 7. And that's, I got to do a funeral last week, and I appreciated that opportunity to say, I know you're going through it right now. I know there are tears now. You can't deny that. But there will come a day, based on our faith in Christ, that God will wipe away those tears if we occupy. And God will be recognized by everybody, and God will be in his eternal rightful place and position where God's supposed to be in control, and he is always in control, but everybody will recognize it. And Satan will be where he's supposed to be in his eternal rightful place. In Revelation chapter 20, it says, the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I like those kinds of statements that are official and ending, and we all know I like putting things where they belong. I don't like to be disorganized. I want God to be recognized as who God is, and I want the devil to be where he belongs. And that day is coming, but it's not here yet. So that word occupy that we're going to talk about for a few minutes. First thing I thought about is if you ever ridden on an airplane and you have to use the restroom, you're watching the little sign that says occupied or unoccupied, because that's what you think of. Somebody's in there. Someone's in that space. But what does it mean? It means to fill or take up space or time. But in the biblical sense, it means to use it in the right manner, to use it in the right way. In this story of the talents, he wanted them to go and trade and profit from what they were doing. And we get our word practical or pragmatic or pragmatism, that dealing with things that are right here and right now, the sensible things based in reality, not what we would imagine, but based in reality, what we can do with what we have. And that's what the master said, use what you have and use it and occupy. In chapter 2 of Luke, it says, he saith unto them, this is Jesus Christ. I'll give you Jesus Christ as a 12-year-old. His parents were looking for him, and Jesus came here to occupy, in the good sense of the word. Jesus came here to make use out of what God gave him to do, and he said, I must be about my Father's business. And in Matthew chapter 5, he said, I am come not to destroy, but to fulfill. And Jesus Christ understood that he needed to fill God's will for his life. He needed to occupy and do what God wanted him to do until he finished the work that God had sent him to do. In John 10, he said, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. He had a purpose, not the way we use occupy to fill our time, but he said, I'm going to occupy and fill up the will of God that God's given me to do. And John 17, he said, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus' whole life was to accomplish the will that God had set for him to do, and he wanted to show his disciples in this parable, talking about when he would come again, the kingdom would be set up on earth. He said, I want you to occupy. So tonight, I know we're all kind of warm, and I know it's the middle of the summer, and I try to keep your attention a little bit. I want to give you just a simple little acrostic of things that I thought about what it means in the biblical sense to occupy, to be doing what we should be doing while we're waiting for Jesus to come back. And the first one I thought of was find an occasion to be a witness and a testimony for God. And I'll put the letters out so you can follow along, and you'll know when we're almost done if you know how to spell the word occupy. So find occasions and opportunities that God gives you. And I wrote down in my notes, be a floodlight and be a spotlight. And all of us should be a floodlight, which means being a good Christian. If anybody were to perchance look at you and say, oh, that guy's follows God, he's got a Bible, he's going to church, we kind of not just saying, well, that's how you win people to Christ, but people should be able to look at you and realize that you're following after God, that you're doing what's right, and that's what I mean by being a floodlight. But we should also be a spotlight. Recognize those individuals that God places in your life where you can focus on them and say, you know, God gave me this opportunity. Recognize the opportunities that God gives you. Don't just walk through life and not realize the opportunities that God gives you. And look for those opportunities and look for those occasions where God wants to use you in a special way, and then always be available for those opportunities when God wants to point someone in your direction. In Acts chapter 5, it says about the disciples daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So even in the world today, as wicked as it is, we can still find what we call teachable moments or something. You say, you know what, okay, that guy made a mistake, but if he would have followed this principle from God's word, I can teach you something from that person's mistake. Or this something bad has happened, but here's an occasion to teach you how you can learn how to avoid that or learn how to do something better than you might see someone else doing around you. So look for those occasions and daily teach and preach Jesus Christ. I know we don't usually call women preachers, but use the opportunities that God gives you, each and every one of you, to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Second one I wrote down for letter C is learn and obey God's commands. On Junior Church, we've been going through the Ten Commandments. I'm trying to teach the kids. Last week was a rough week because it was about adultery, but I tried to keep it on the level. But each of those commandments, and some of them make perfect sense to us about God's command and why he commanded us to obey him, but each of those are to preserve the relationship that God gave us, and not just the Ten Commandments, but all of God's commands in his word. He gave it to us to keep that relationship the way it needs to be. And if we don't learn them, because our sin nature, it's not going to come naturally, if we don't learn them and we don't obey them, we won't occupy the way that God wants us to. So it's learning and keeping the commandments that God gives you. And the next letter, C-O-C-C, I put copy Christ priorities. And all through the New Testament and even a little bit in the Old, it talks about what Jesus was going to come and do and what Jesus came and did and the priorities that he had in his life. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And Christ was intent. He was focused on what he was going to do, and he was undistracted by the things around him. He told another guy, you know, I don't even have a place to lay my head tonight. But that's not what I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So copy, and there's only really one person we should copy completely, but that's Jesus Christ, and copy what he had as priorities, what he had as a burden, the people, you know, he was always helping the poor, and he was always paying attention to the ones that everybody else was ignoring. Copy the priorities that Jesus had in his life, and let's occupy the way that Christ wants us to occupy until he comes back. And Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And if each of us could say, you know, Christ accomplished a great work, but he said we would do greater works than what he did. So our meat was the same as his meat, to accomplish the work that Jesus Christ wanted us each to accomplish by giving the gospel, telling people how they can get saved. Next one I put for the letter U is untangle yourself from the world. In 1 John it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In verse 17 of 1 John 2, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And for this one, I'm kind of on a stretch, but untangle yourself. If you're going to occupy the way that God wants you to occupy, you're not going to be concerned with what the world says is important. And everybody knows that knows me knows I'm a little bit of a nerd, if you can tell by looking, but I used to wear glasses. But all the way growing up, I was really interested, still am, in the space program and any type of space travel. I used to have a little planetarium in my room. And when I was younger, I got the astronaut food and the astronaut ice cream. And all that was really, yeah, I know, but it was all really impressive to me. I thought that was so amazing, so cool that, you know, these guys would train and they would study hard and then they would test and train and hours, and then they'd get to spend like 5 minutes in space, or they get to spend, you know, 15 minutes on a extravehicular activity walking around the spaceship, and that was so neat to me. And I know just recently I've been studying again about about the Apollo missions and how they would do a plugs out test. So they wouldn't leave the ground, and they wouldn't actually do anything on them. They wouldn't actually attempt a mission, but they went through the motions of unplugging all the electricity, pulling all the tubes out, all the tethers that would be out on the rocket, and they'd pull everything away and act like they were in space. So they had to survive on the air that they had with them. They had to survive with the food that they had with them. And probably the most infamous example of that was Apollo 1. They were testing a plugs-out test when three astronauts died. But that mentality of we have to have it all contained, we can only take what we have with us, and we have to survive with what we have in the capsule or in the spaceship, and this is all we have to work with. And a lot of times what we do in the world is we realize the world is temporary, and we realize that it's all going to pass away, it'll all burn up, but we have a lot of plugs that are still plugged in. And we're kind of tangled up in it, you know, say, well, I can't function without, you know, I'm trying to do without Diet Coke. So if I seem more jittery, that's why. I got to have my Diet Coke. I got to have my coffee. I got to have, you know, this, and this. I got to have my favorite magazine or these things. I have to have these things. They're not necessarily wrong, but they're all these tangles, wires, fetters that keep us from focusing on our mission. And sometimes we need to take a plugs out test and just say, well, can I do without this certain thing? Can I fast from this distraction? Can I put this aside and see if I can make it? If I'm not going to have it in heaven anyway, if I'm not going to have it up there, maybe I need to take it away down here and see how I do without it, and see how dependent I have become or how distracted I have become by the things of the world. And that was a challenge to me, just to say, pull it all back and say, well, what am I really going to have this in heaven? Should I be investing myself this much in it now on earth? In James it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's what I want to get to tonight. It is, in order to be effective, we have to trust each other. We have to rely on what we're going to have in eternity. And we have to pray for one another. And that's part of occupying. That's part of doing what Christ wants us to do in the meantime, in this part before he comes back, you know, before he returns. What does it mean to occupy? So that's why I put untangle yourself, or get pulled apart from the things of the world that would distract you. Get undistracted. In Hebrews 13, the Bible says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's what we have to put our trust back in God. We have to say, I could do without this stuff because I trust in God. I have what I need. That's stuff I want, and I really should fix it so I don't want that stuff anymore. Hebrews 13:6, that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So untangle yourself. Occupy. Get the things right that God wants you to get right, and get untangled from the world, because you can't take it with you. It's true, you can't take it with you, and focus on those things that are eternal. God's word can be choked out by worldly things, so the things we want and the things we care about, and lust. The Bible talks a lot about lust, and Jesus told that story of the sower sowing the seed, and some of the seed fell on ground with thorns, and it choked it out. And it was good seed, it was the word of God, but it got choked out. It got choked out by those entanglements that pushed it out of the way. And the same thing can happen to us. So I challenge you tonight, occupy till he comes back. For the letter P, I put, keep positive purposes in your mind and heart. And of course, that word purpose, I immediately thought of when Daniel purposed in his heart. It was a positive purpose that he was not going to be overtaken by the negatives. He said he wasn't going to defile himself, so he had a purpose. And sometimes in situations when we worry about if God's going to come through and he's not on our timetable and he's not showing up when we want him to show up, we forget the purpose that we do still have. And Daniel had a purpose. David said to the people in 1 Samuel 17, this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. David to Goliath. He realized there was still a purpose, just like Daniel recognized the purpose. And Jeremiah wrote, behold, I am the Lord God, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? And sometimes in that middle part, we worry about what God's able to accomplish because we haven't seen him do anything lately. Our minds are, we only remember the last 5 minutes and not very well. We forget how God has come through for us in the past, and we don't know if he's going to in the future. And we forget that there is a purpose to each day and a purpose to everything that God has left us here to do. I think the devil in the Garden of Eden, when he questioned God's word, he started out with a little grain of truth. You know, God said, don't eat the fruit of that tree. That part was true. And the devil took that and he ran with it, and he deceived and brought down Eve and then Adam. And the devil could still do that today. We know Christ is coming back. We know the world is getting worse and worse. But the devil would love to say, it's already too late. You're just going to sit and wait and do nothing. The devil would say, you know what, you're right. I couldn't get you out of heaven, but I'm going to let you just sit there and wait because there's nothing you can do. The devil would love to say that our purpose has already gone away, that we just need to sit and be quiet and wait and not speak up and not give people the truth and not say anything, because the devil, that's the best he can do at this point. He can't get us to hell, but he can distract us. And if we forget our purpose, that's what we'll do. We'll just sit and wait. And in the story of the parable, the master came back and he said, I didn't want you to sit and do nothing. I wanted you to occupy. I wanted you to get something done while I was gone. So almost done. The last letter, letter Y, I put down yearn, but also do. And that word yearn just means a strong desire, something that you want to happen. Again, there's still situations where I want God to come through right now. I have a strong desire. I want God to step in and do something that only God can do. I want to be miraculous. I want everybody to say that had to be from God. But he's chosen not to do that yet. And so I have a yearning, but at the same time, I should be doing. Yearn, but also do. In Acts 10, it said, God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. And again, we're supposed to take Jesus as the example, copy Christ, and he went about doing good. James also said in James 1, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So over and over again, the Bible tells us to be ready, to watch and wait and be ready for Christ, but also tells us to be doing at the same time. Matthew 25, Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins. They're about to get married. 5 had oil. 5 were prepared. 5 didn't have oil. 5 were not prepared. They probably all wanted to get married. You know, they're probably all looking forward to the bridegroom coming back, but only 5 were ready, and 5 stayed awake, and sometimes that desire is not enough. It was preparation as well. Jesus said at the end of that story, watch, therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And he just said, it's great that you want it. It's great that you yearn for it, but there also is some work to be done. And again, I don't want to confuse anybody. I'm not talking about getting working your way to heaven or work salvation. But I thought about this. You know, how many people got married and said, what is the bare minimum I have to do where I can say you're my wife? Just tell me the absolute lowest amount of stuff I got to do and we can still be married. And the same thing should apply to God. The Bible uses that illustration of a bride. I don't want to just barely, you know, be part of God's family. I want to be one that's doing and one that's watching and one that's prepared. In Luke 12, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. So again, I apply it to marriage or anything that you have a longing for that eventually you get. I see Brother Terry, he's always getting a new tool and he says how beautiful this tool is, or he'll do a job and see that's a beautiful sight and he has worked for it and he deserves to say it's beautiful. But I think about when I got married. It wasn't enough just that I wanted to get married. You know, I had, many of you were here, I had to get a marriage license and the minister was supposed to sign it, but there were other things that were involved. He signed it eventually, he just waited a day. But there's other things that are involved in a marriage besides just wanting to get married. You know, I wanted to have a kid, and I didn't know much about it, and there, you know, that came, I didn't at first, but there came a day when I wanted to have some little guy running around that had my name and was part of my family, but it was more than just desiring it. It was more than just yearning for it. There was a lot of work, and you know, I had to go to class and learn how to change a diaper and all the stuff that I didn't really want to know, but there was a lot of knowledge that I needed, and there was still more that I needed after we had the kid and I realized how far behind we were. But it's more than just wanting it, and that's the point. It's more than just yearning for it. The same thing with Christ's return. It's more than just watching and waiting. Christ expects us to be doing something while we wait, and on it goes in every situation. There's a lot more to it than just desiring it. Desiring is usually the first step, but there's more to it than that. In Titus 2, it says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God of our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And that's what Christ is excited about, zealous of good works. Not necessarily, you know, to earn our way, and I'm not saying that, but again, I don't want to just be concerned with what the bare minimum is, you know, in order to get into heaven, but I want Jesus to be excited when he comes back and says, hey, there's one person, or there's a church that understood I was excited about the good works that they did to represent me, to occupy, to fill full, to represent and to show the Savior, to show him that we understood it wasn't just waiting, but that we were looking for occasions, we were looking for ways to witness and opportunities that we recognized were from God. We were looking for those occasions. We were obeying God's commands out of love because we wanted nothing to come between us and him. And we were copying Christ and seeing how each and every day we could copy him more and more and copy his priorities and do the mission that he left us here to do. Untangling ourselves, unplugging ourselves from the world so we're ready to launch at any time. We could go at any time and be not tied down to this world and not be missing it when we get to heaven. And we're keeping the positive purposes in our heart and our mind. No matter how long we might have to wait, it might be a situation in your own life, you're waiting on God to come through, and you're ready to put aside those purposes and say, you're ready to give up, and you forget the purpose that God has given you. And again, balance that yearning with doing. It's great to want it. At the same time, you want it to be working to make sure that when it does happen, that you're ready for God to step in and work in your life. When he comes, when he answers your prayer, whenever that situation resolves itself, occupy. Don't just sit and wait, but occupy till Christ comes back. So that's my lesson. Let's all stand tonight. Thank you for listening. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Again, Lord, help us realize that possibly, you know, none of these things earn our salvation. We're not trying to earn something that you've already paid for us. We're not trying to get out of a situation that you forced them in, but we're trying to be useful servants. We're trying to please you. We're not just trying to accomplish the bare minimum. We're trying to please you in every aspect of our life. Help us to occupy in that way. Help us to fulfill the law that you've left us to do and not do it begrudgingly, but because we love you, because we don't want anything to come between us and you. Bless us for being here tonight. Thank you for the testimony this church has. Thank you that you're allowing us to grow. Thank you that you're allowing us to do new things. And thank you that each individual gets to be a part of that. Bless us tonight as we go home. Help us get ready for Sunday and do what you want us to do. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.